Yeah. Oh.
Hi, welcome to Roaming with Restless Women. Today, I have an experienced executive assistant in the nonprofit sector with me. Deborah Coleman is the host of a podcast called Have a Seat, and I was privileged to be on her podcast. And I said, "You've got to come on mine. Your voice is so smooth and you're so amazing. You have to get on my podcast." So here we are. Deborah has over 20 years of experience, including 5 years working remotely, and she specializes in supporting executive teams by help keeping the operations seamless, whether in the office or across time zones. And most of you know, if you're an executive or an entrepreneur, the services of a VA are absolutely, you can't even deal without them. I can just tell you that right now. Her adaptability, resourcefulness, and commitment to getting things done means that she can focus that the executive she works with can focus on high impact work while she handles all the details behind the scenes. If you're looking for someone to ensure nothing falls through the cracks, she is there to help you and help make that happen. Again, she is the host of the podcast Have a Seat, and she's produced it since 2020. So 5 years. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
And obviously 2020 was a year that many of us got started doing something different. So that's amazing. She says that managing a podcast has taught her how to expertly handle content planning, guest coordination, editing, and promotion, all while balancing her already busy set schedule. So, if you've ever thought about starting or enhancing a podcast but don't have the time, she can help make your take your ideas from concept to production with ease. So, welcome, welcome, Deb. You've carved out quite the niche for yourself.
I have. I know sometimes I feel like a generalist more than like anything special. Like, oh, I can do a little bit of that, a little bit of that. But thank you for having me, Julie. I'm honored to be on your podcast now and to return the favor because you did such a beautiful job on mine. I was so excited to share our conversation. So happy to be here
Oh,
with you.
thank you very much. I enjoyed it. As I said in my comments, it was just amazing. You're just an amazing host. Anyway, so let me ask you about your life. You said you live in Nevada. Tell me about how you started your business, how and then how you stumbled into becoming a podcast
Oh,
producer.
yeah. I love talking to other podcasters because it's so fascinating to hear, like, what's your why for starting your show?
Right.
It's so fun. We're such a neat group of people. Like, it takes not everybody can do what we do, especially the interview style. I'll just digress a quick minute. I just told a friend the other day because I told her I was thinking of sunsetting my podcast this year, and I said it's been an interesting ride because you try bringing a stranger, really, into your virtual living room and doing this, what you're doing, making them feel
Right.
comfortable, having a like every week or twice a month, whatever your schedule is. So it's been just a joy. I get to connect with people like you. So when I'm in other states, I can say, "Hey, Julie, I'm in Florida. What's up, girl? Let's say hi."
That's right. Yeah, come on
The
by.
connection.
It's
But I have
fun.
been, like you touched on, it is. I have been an executive. Well, I've been an administrative support professional for 25 years. I started in corporate as a receptionist and just slowly worked my way up to executive assistant. Though when I was in corporate many moons ago, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, all around me were professionals. And I really got inspired by their degrees. Like they would talk about, their college degrees, or I would see job openings that required a degree. And I thought, at that point I had an AA, but I wanted to go back and get my bachelor's. And while I was there on campus taking classes as an adult now, right, as an adult
Oh, yeah.
learner, I was just so like impressed with the campus, with the higher education's vibe, like the messaging and what their widget was. They didn't what their make something to the world was education, which is to provide a better opportunity for others, to better their lives. And I wanted to be a part of that. So I quickly transitioned to work on campus in a part-time role, part-time clerk in the health center, in the student health center. That was
Oh,
an eye-opener.
goodness. Oh, yeah, I bet.
But and then that quickly transitioned into a full-time position, and then I've been in higher education for the last 20 years, and it's been great. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I love being around students. I love that young energy, that vibe, and then of course working with faculty and staff who, yes, we all come from different walks of life, and we all have our different things we do on campus. But I think why we were there, why we do what we do, it's nice to be around that collective mindset, like we're here to help educate others and that sort of thing. So, and then in 2020, I sort of had like a crisis of conscience with my career. I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue being in a support role, if I wanted to maybe roll into something else, maybe operations or something. I was really struggling, and I found myself doing this, but like with other women, like Julie, like maybe we work together, right? And I would say, Julie, how did you get to where you are? How did you become a faculty member? Where are you? And I found myself keep like asking, and my husband's like, there's a pattern here. You're trying to get answers for yourself, which is understandable. Like you want to just find some direction. You're asking other women. Maybe you should, he kind of said it half jokingly, like maybe you should start a podcast. That way you can just have these conversations, And I'm like, ding, that's a brilliant idea. Yes, I think that's a great idea. So that's kind of how the podcast was born in early 2020, in January of 2020, is when I started it. And so before the pandemic hit, and so it was just kind of nice when the pandemic hit. I was doing this, I was remote interviewing, so I didn't have a studio I had to go to or shut down or anything like that. So it was nice, I could just continue. And so that was sort of my why for starting the podcast, and haven't looked back since. It's been great.
Wow, that's amazing. Because I mean, you can make it as difficult and complicated or as simple as you want to in
Very
starting a
true.
podcast.
Oh,
I kind of
totally.
went a little bit on the difficult side, but I had some, I hired a company to help me. But
Nice.
I actually had to talk myself into it.
Oh.
Mainly because of my voice. I'm from the South, and there is no disguising that accent. And I really, I think a lot of people don't like how they sound, when they record their voices. A lot of people don't want to do videos because of that, or even obviously with podcasts, it's audio, some video, but mostly audio for most podcasts. And so, how did you decide that? Or how has your pod, let me ask you this, how has your podcast grown over 5 years? Like, what tips and tricks have you learned?
Oh wow. Yes, good question. Like you, as you just brilliantly said, I had to get used to hearing my own voice. Absolutely, but that empowered me, little did I know. Like I wasn't seeking all of the like soft skills that I have garnered these past 5 years from being a podcaster. I hadn't counted on that. I, like you, I think was more focused on the tactical, like how do I record? How do I edit? How do I market? Blah, blah. But slowly but surely, it helped me find my inner voice as well. And so that is a skill set that has completely, my ability to communicate better, both like professionally and personally, I think has improved. And it's, gosh, it has, it, I went from kind of having like this comparing myself, send your coach, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not as good as Julie. Look at all the listeners Julie has. Look at all the downloads she has. And I only have like three, and I realized, and also learning, because I always learn, always went to podcast webinars, always read blogs and other podcasters that, would put that information out there. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And that consistency was key. And I just held on to that and I kept true to that. And sure enough, I have seen my podcast grow to over 50,000 downloads now, 62 countries. I have over 300 shows in the in my catalog now, and my email subscriber list is up to 200. It's just, but over time, it wasn't like a light switch. That's progress over 5 years, right? So if you're comfortable with those numbers and you're comfortable with sort of like sitting back and just sort of putting it on cruise control, as long as I dropped a show when I was supposed to every week, I just steadily saw those numbers increase. And Also, engagement. I tried to pick topics and guests that would resonate with my listeners. I have a podcast that's by a woman for other women. It's Have a Seat Conversations with Women in the pod, in Have a Seat Conversations with Women in the Workplace. And so I tried to find women like Julie who could speak to us women in the workplace because at that time in 2020, especially with the pandemic, I felt like we were being silenced. There was so much going on in our lives behind the scenes. Multi-generational households, heavy is the burden of the woman of the house. And I just felt like, wouldn't you like 30 minutes just to share your story and to share your like concerns and maybe hear from experts like Julie on ways to manage that and ways to like not only personally but professionally too? Because let's face it, many of us had to keep the wheels turning while other people were breaking down. We didn't have that luxury. So that sort of was what I've learned also is, and also last thing is to just respect the sisterhood. You know, I mean, there's no reason why we should be at each other. There's enough in the world out there that is attacking us. The last thing we need is to be with, and you touched on this beautifully in the podcast you did for me. So that is what I have absolutely learned to appreciate over these past years is we may look different and come from different lived experiences, but ultimately we are women. And we have such a strong commonality that I bet we, if we sat down, we would have so much more in common than we realize.
Oh,
So.
I'm quite sure of that. I'm quite sure of that. One of the things that I love the most about doing, in my why, of doing this is basically just finding women's stories and sharing women's wisdom. It wasn't, oh, do a podcast and grow your business or anything like that. Certainly, I want to talk to my ideal client. I want my other podcast guests to talk to their ideal clients if they have a business that they're selling. A lot of them, though, I picked them, handpicked them from my life experience, old friends, individuals that have, gone through cancer, for instance. One of my guests, and I'm going to have her back, decided to donate a kidney. I mean, wow, what was that process like? And, women who are taking care of aging parents and trying to still, feed their families and work, and how the corporate environment doesn't allow enough time away to take your mom or dad or another family member to the doctor 4 times a week. That's a reality. And there are a lot of folks who have these extraordinary personal trials and tribulations, not to mention, work, career trials and tribulations, that if we just share those stories, I think, we all benefit. We all benefit from those kinds of learnings. And
Because it
so
makes you feel less alone too.
it
Like, oh, there's another
does.
woman who's experiencing what I thought I was alone in this.
100%. And that's what my why is as far as this podcast. So, your why was engaging with other women and talking about careers. How has your show, expanded since then? What things have you gotten interested in over the 5 years?
Oh man, that I have, it has opened my eyes to so many different topics and subjects and concerns, and celebrations. I think we get so caught up in our, and it's not a bad thing, but we get caught up in our own lives, not really selfishly, but you just kind of don't realize that, gosh, I've kind of been in this bubble. And for me, it was, work-wise, it was like higher ed, nonprofit, which was wonderful, but opening myself up to talking to women from all different walks of life and different career paths was, oh, that's amazing. That's fascinating. How did you get it? Like you said, you donate a kidney. Tell me about that. Like, where else would I have ever talked to somebody? If I, unless it's happening to my little world. So that has been amazing. Just personally opening my eyes up to, hey, there's other stuff going on in the world here, friend. Let's hear the stories. But it also has opened me up to, I have been asked several times now to participate in conferences and as either a moderator. I think that's the podcasting side because I'm sure you get put, you must be comfortable with the microphone and talking to people. Would you like to moderate our panel? That kind of like vibe. So that's been kind of fun. That's
Yes.
opened that door. And then also not only moderating, but also being like a breakout set, like a presenter for like a breakout. Now in the coyote room, go listen to Deborah talk about underwater basket weaving, like just that, or like, or like communication type topics, because again, being a podcaster, which I love. I mean, that's great. That's yes, let's build on those skills. Let's market those skills. I'm happy to do it. But those opportunities, I think, never would have been presented to me had it not have been for my podcast.
What was the reaction of your family? Not your husband, because obviously he came up with this idea, but what about the rest of your family?
Incredibly supportive. Incredibly. When I
Oh,
first
that's
said, yeah, I think I'm
great.
going to start a podcast. Yeah, they really are. Like you, I turned to my inner circle first when I first started out, like my first couple of shows, my sister, friends and family.
Yes.
I think that first Mother's Day was my mom, and other friends' moms, and so I really went, but yeah, so supportive. I had my niece on as one of my nieces as a guest, and at the time she was going to pursue her master's, and so it was really neat to hear also from her perspective, someone who was just starting her, like just launching out into the world of career, to get her viewpoint on what she was facing or what she was thinking of doing and how she's going to get there. So they've been really supportive. And it's funny, a couple months ago, my niece, we were talking on the phone and she said, "Hey, that one show you did about blah, blah, blah," like she referenced. I'm like, "Oh, you're still listening? That's fantastic. Yay, thank you." I mean, I don't put pressure on anyone, especially family, but so it was neat to hear that she was still listening. So that's nice. But yeah, incredibly supportive.
Oh, that's great. Well,
Yeah.
I had family members go, "What? You're doing what?" I think they were surprised that
Yeah.
it was something that I would be interested in. And the funny thing is, when I think way back, and I started talking about my career with my mother said to me, "You should be a TV broadcaster. You should be an anchor." I had zero desire of that. She also told me I need to write a book, and I have zero desire to write a book either. Maybe a fun book later on, but I don't have a desire to write a business book. Yeah, it's boring. So anyway, I found it very interesting that my mom has Alzheimer's, and she was at the point that she didn't really recognize me when I actually did my first podcast. So unfortunately, she never got to see this side of me actually coming to fruition. And I really feel badly about that. But by the same token, I had that little bit of encouragement from way back that I had forgotten. I had forgotten about that. And then when I found out that, oh, wow, I really love this. I really love this. It was interesting to think back at, geez, if I just listened to my mother, I might have been a famous journalist by now. I don't know. what
What do you
do
think
you
it
think
is
of
she
it?
saw in you that made her think that way?
Well, I think she saw the extroversion. I was always out in front. I was always, giving my opinion about everything, always asking questions. And I loved English literature. I loved telling stories, loved reading. So I became an English literature major and then went and I was in higher education. I was what do you call them when we're part-time?
Oh, adjunct
And
professor,
that, thank
adjunct.
you, an adjunct. Yes, I was an adjunct in a couple of community colleges for English literature and composition. But yeah, it was interesting to think back about that for sure. And I went into theater as well, so she saw that part of me.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're honoring her by doing this, so
I think
that's pretty
so.
cool.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe I'll actually interview her to show people, how Alzheimer's can be confusing, but it can also be fun to talk with them. They don't know who you are. They don't remember. They make up stuff. And it's funny, but it's not funny at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. That's something that a lot of times what they're saying really is wisdom. You just have to know how to listen to it. But in any case, just letting you interview me for a moment, by the way. I just noticed that. Okay.
Habits,
So,
habits.
yeah, habits, habits. So, what is the biggest thing, positive thing that has happened out of your doing your podcast for you personally or professionally?
Oh, I think the biggest thing, aside from the amazing connections I make with my guests, I mean, just women I'm meeting that I would, again, have no way of knowing, so the connections. But I think personally, it just the growth that I've seen myself take, and not only soft skills, but technical, like hard skills too. If you were to have told me in 2019, you're going to learn how to do this, how to engage, using a microphone and then using your ears to and pull up GarageBand. I'm a Mac user and edit a show. And then you're going to, I have turned into an audio editor, a marketer, a copywriter for my newsletter. I mean, it's, I would have been like, no, what are you talking? Kind of like your reaction, like, no, what are you talking about? So that those skills now are very marketable, and I can add those to my resume, or I can add those to a skill set if needed. I mean, I think again, a podcaster, because there's also been many times where people at work are like, we're going to do a town hall, but we want to do it virtually. Could you help manage that? Like, okay,
Yeah, why
I can
not?
figure it out.
I'll
Yeah,
be your
why not?
producer.
Right, exactly. So. Yeah, so that the soft skills, but also the technical skills, the hard skills are I'm like it blows my mind when I just repeating it to you now. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of stuff that I do. Yeah.
And now we're getting into AI. Are you using AI yet?
Oh yeah,
Yes.
unashamedly, yes. AI is my assistant producer. I have no shame to admit that. I have it help me with guest research. I have it help me when writing my newsletter. It acts almost like you're an English major, so you understand. It acts like, someone with that knowledge base. Like, I'm just going to throw a bunch of words down for a newsletter. Will you please read it and correct it for me and grammatically, or like make sure the flow is there, make sure my messaging and my brand. So it acts like my assistant. So I truly I do rely on it. I admit that. But that's about it. I've heard and seen AI create podcasts. To be the voice on the podcast, to really take over to where the human now is the assistant, right? And the AI is the one running the show. Hats off. Everybody's welcome to do and run their podcast the way they want. But I started this with a human element, and I'm not ready to give that
I
up.
yes, I agree. I agree with you there. Okay, so I end all of my podcasts with three questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So the first question is, it's a little strange or a little different. Let me put it that way. If you could close your eyes, okay. And in your mind, picture a wise woman. Open your eyes and tell me about her.
Wow. That wise woman has a lot of the traits of my mother. A lot of traits of her. She is strong but vulnerable. Has her flaws, isn't perfect, but has this underlying strength that you don't know is there. Because she doesn't come across hard, but she has, like, she is very strong. And not afraid to share with you what she's learned.
Yes.
and ready to bring you into the conversation if asked. Like, she's not going to push herself on you. She doesn't do that. But when I picture that person, like I'm picturing them, like me coming up to them and asking them for guidance. When you said that, that was sort of like my knee-jerk reaction of the vision I saw. So
Yeah.
free with her advice and her guidance, but when approached and when asked, not pushy.
Right. Perfect. Oh, I love that. I love that.
That's a good question.
Okay. I love that question.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the next question that I have that I ask all the time is, where do you like to roam?
Oh, I love to roam. I'm low key jealous of you and your roaming. I love that. Someday I would love to see my husband and I do something similar, get an RV and just roam. But now I live in the desert, and I've always my dad sort of raised us like to appreciate the outdoors, camping and desert. And once upon a time ago, he had a dirt bike, so all that, you know. So I love, and my husband's the same way. He loves to be outdoors. He's a hunter. He's a fisher. All that stuff. So anything that really takes me outdoors and open outdoors, yeah. We lived for just a stint in East Texas, which was beautiful, beautiful, lots of trees, gorgeous. But I didn't realize till we came back west that I appreciate the open space. Like, I need to be able to see 100 yards out, or like I need to be able to see that mountain. The trees, I love them, don't get me wrong, but internally, I think I've been around just open spaces for so long that that's just sort of my knee jerk. That's where I okay, now I feel comfortable. It's like putting on your favorite pair of jeans. Like, okay, we're good now. We're good now. So outdoors where I can see for miles and miles.
That is
That's where I like to roam.
hysterical. That's hysterical because I grew up in the South in the eastern part of the United States. And not in Florida. I grew up in North Carolina. And so when the first time I remember the first time I visited the desert, I was dying for something green. Just it felt like I was dehydrated almost,
You
even though I
probably were.
wasn't. And those wide open spaces, it felt very, I felt very vulnerable. You know, I didn't feel like I could hide anywhere. The minute my husband and I came back over into Upper Utah and into the Yellowstone and Grand Teton, and there were more trees, I was like, oh, okay. I can relax now. I feel like I've just taken a big deep gulp of water, you know, with the green and the lush. And yeah, so we're exactly the opposite. That is
Yes.
funny. It's funny.
Funny.
Okay, very last question.
Okay.
What makes you restless in a good way?
Ooh, what makes me restless? Julie Noonan coming in hot with these questions. What makes me restless in a good way? Oh. Restless in a good way. A couple of things come to mind really quickly. I have a fur baby, so he keeps me restless because I walk him twice a day. So physically, he helps keep me restless, like in a good way.
Yes.
And then I'm an avid reader. I love to read. I will read almost anything you put in front of me. I'm not a real big fan of nonfiction, but like, you know, just like give me like you tell me a story and I'll read it.
Yes,
So I think
absolutely.
reading kind of helps me be restless internally because I can be taken anywhere inside books. And so that's, I guess, the second part of that answer.
I love that. I love that. A couple of people have answered books or, you know, learning kind of mind restlessness, you know, and I think that's amazing because I think that's if we quit learning, we die.
That's right.
So,
Agreed. Totally agree.
absolutely. Well,
Yes.
it has been such a pleasure to have you on my podcast. Thank you
Oh,
so
Julie,
much.
thank you. This has been
I've
fun. You asked great questions, really like thought-provoking questions, and I
Oh,
appreciate you giving me time
good.
to be on this side of the mic. It was fun.
It is fun. Yeah, it's fun to go back and forth sometimes too.
It is. Plus, we
Well,
have to support
Deb,
female
thank you.
podcasters out there. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what can people do if they want to get a hold of you or to ask to appear on your podcast?
Yes, absolutely. It's super simple. It's haveaseatconversations.com. We'll take you straight to my podcast website and you will find all the things. You will find back catalog of shows, a contact me form. So reach out. I would love to have a conversation with you too. Absolutely.
That sounds great. Well, thank you, Deb, and we will talk the next time. I'm sure we'll have a repeat at some point.
I hope so. Absolutely. Thank you again, Julie. This was great.
Thank you.